Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we are in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to indwell you and keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song and scripture and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your husband. Go wake up your wife. Go wake up your children. Go wake up that oldest boy, that youngest boy, and that oldest girl, and that youngest girl. Wake up grandmama and granddaddy and let them know that In Your Corner is on there. Oh, go wake them up. Get them out the bed, sleepyhead. Get them out the bed, sleepyhead. Oh, I know what I'm finna go do. I'm finna go out here and get my bus. Let me just go out here and get my bus. I need to go out here and get my bus and go around the world and pick up some cities here. All right. Let me start up north. Chicago, Illinois. Joliet, Illinois. Champaign, Illinois. Kankakee, Illinois. Let's go on over now to Indianapolis, Indiana. Let's go on down to Lexington, Kentucky. Let me go on over here to Memphis, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee. Let me go on back on over to North Carolina. Let me go on over to South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. Oh, let me go on now. Let me go right quick and get a good song. Let me go get a good song. Everybody getting on board this morning. Thank y'all so kindly for getting on board this morning. Everybody getting on board. Let me go and get a song by Clay Evans.
Down, how many of you walked in here this morning?
Look Clay Evans and the Fellowship Choir. I'm blessed. Thank all y'all for getting on board this morning.
You got a voice to talk. How many of you had a place to sleep last night? Aren't you blessed? Aren't you blessed? And yet there are some people always complaining. I don't care what mama used to say, we'd be crying with a loaf of bread on our own. I heard a story the other day that there were some folks just like us on their way to church, all dressed up, Bible under their arm, looking sanctimonious, but they weren't complaining. Here's old wine, old. Wasn't dressed up, didn't have no Bible, wasn't on his way to church, but I heard him say, I'm blessed. And it's just good to wake up in the morning and know that you're blessed. I'm truly blessed. bless you, yes. Would you get on your feet and tell somebody, come on. Don't be ashamed. Go and tell somebody. Find somebody and tell them you're blessed. God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hey, I'm blessed. Has it been good to you?
All right, that was the Reverend Clay Evans and the Fellowship Choir saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Listen, you too blessed to be stressed. So don't be complaining, because you blessed. All right, that's your song for the day. Time to read the Bible, Our Bible reading this morning is out of Genesis 41. Genesis 41 and Genesis 42. Genesis 41 and Genesis 42, reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on the single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh,
"Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled."
So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it."
"I cannot do it,"
Joseph replied to Pharaoh.
"But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires."
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me."
Then Joseph said to Pharaoh,
"The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine.
The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them,
"Can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God?"
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you."
So Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt."
Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him,
"Make way!"
Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt."
Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paaneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said,
"It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household."
The second son he named Ephraim and said,
"It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering."
The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians,
"Go to Joseph and do what he tells you."
When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. The book of Genesis continued. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons,
"Why do you just keep looking at each other? I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die."
Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. But he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them.
"Where do you come from?"
he asked.
"From the land of Canaan,"
they replied.
to buy food.
Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them,
"You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected."
"No, my lord,"
they answered.
"Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies."
"No,"
he said to them.
"You have come to see where our land is unprotected."
But they replied,
"Your servants? We're 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more."
Joseph said to them,
"It is just as I told you, you are spies, and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies."
And he put them all in custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them,
"Do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me so that your words may be verified and that you may not die."
This they proceeded to do. They said to one another,
"Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us."
Reuben replied,
"Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you would listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood."
They did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep, but then came back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in his sack, and to give them provisions for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack.
"My silver has been returned,"
he said to his brothers.
"Here it is in my sack."
Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other, trembling, and said,
"What is this that God has done to us?"
When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said,
"The man who is lord over the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men. We are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.'"
Then the man who is lord over the land said to us, "This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for your starving households and go. But bring your youngest brother to me so I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you and you can trade in the land."
As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them,
"You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me."
Then Reuben said to his father,
"You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back."
But Jacob said,
"My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, he will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow."
All right. That was our scripture reading for the day. We read out of the book of Genesis, Genesis 41 and 42. May God bless those who heard and who read his holy word. It's prayer time now, y'all. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all. It's prayer time. Let's gather around the altar. Y'all know how we do it. Y'all know how we do it. Come on, mama, daddy, sister, brother, niece, nephew, whoever's in the house. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let's grab hands. Let's grab hands. It won't take long. It won't take long. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for giving us another day, a day we did not earn, a day we did not merit, but it was by your amazing grace that you have given us another day. And we thank you this morning, dear God, for waking us up early this morning and for clothing us in our right mind as we have started out this day. Thank you, dear God, for a portion of health and strength that you have given us on this day. Now, Lord, as we start out this day, dear God, Lord, we pray now for our workers this morning, dear God. Thank you, dear God, for giving us jobs to go to, dear God. Now, Lord, we ask for traveling mercies as we travel to our jobs. Some are going this morning by train. Thank you, dear God, for the train transportation. Some are going this morning by bus. Thank you for the bus transportation. Some are going this morning by cars and trucks and automobiles. And we thank you, dear God, for that transportation. Some got to fly this morning, dear God. We just thank you for the airlines, dear God. We pray for those pilots this morning and the co-pilots, dear God. Clothe them in their right frame of mind, dear God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you this morning, dear God, for all of the many ways and methods and modes of transportation that we have. Lord, some of us just got to walk this morning. But we thank you, dear God, that you have given us the ability to be able to walk, dear God. Now, Lord, we ask that you will be with us on these jobs. Lord, somebody is working in a hard place. I don't know who they are. I don't know if it's a man, a woman, boy, or girl. But Lord, they're in a hard place this morning. And we ask that you would be with them, dear God, in that hard place. Let them know, dear God, you didn't bring them this far to just leave them, dear God. You're going to be with them, dear God. For Lord, there's something that you want them to do, dear God, in that hard place. Lord, I believe you brought them to that hard place, dear God, so that they can let their light so shine before men that others can see their good work and cause others to glorify God. And Lord, you put some in a hard place, dear God, to be the salt of the earth, dear God, in order to keep things, dear God, from just rotting away. Lord, you put us there to preserve things. And we thank you, oh God. Now, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We commit it into your care, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. All right, that's it. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We done sung our song. We done had our prayer. We done had our scripture. Clock on the wall is saying that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you, thank you, thank you so kindly for joining us this morning. Thank you for getting on the Bible bus. Amen. And we didn't call your city. We thank you this morning for listening anyway. Amen. We know you're out there. Amen. We just didn't have time to call all these cities. Amen. It would take almost the whole program to call all these cities just for that. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So get ready, get ready, get ready now for that early morning sermon. We're going to put that on for you. We're going to play a commercial too. Then we're going to put that early morning sermon on. Then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back again with Ghostbusters. Because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood. Somebody needs to say something about it. You know I'm your watchman on the wall, informing you, educating you, and empowering you on the issues of our day. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again with in the Situation Room, where I give you a Christian response to the issues of our day. Then at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama that makes you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. Then at 12 o'clock, if you miss any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we are in your corner!